We are absolutely the most excited about the mandate from our CEO, which is to focus on the fundamentals. After an incredibly crazy 2023, we are really looking at just focusing on the fundamentals of 2024 and making sure we've got all of the basics that we have been able to do really well, continuing to do so with this large acquisition that we did.
Hello and welcome to The REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Balsam-Keto. Today, I'm speaking with Gwynne McNeil, EVP and Chief Legal Officer at Extra Space Storage, about some of the many issues on her radar today during an active time for the self-storage REIT. Gwynne, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Sarah. Happy to be here.
First of all, can you describe how you came to join Extra Space, your role today, and how it's integrated within the broader structure of the company?
Oh, sure. I was working as outside counsel for Extra Space, assisting them with acquisitions. And I absolutely loved all of the people that I worked with. It was just a no-brainer when I was asked to come and join Extra Space. I didn't even have to think about it. I accepted on the spot. Probably should have done a little more negotiating something, but I was really excited to join the organization. They just have always had a really strong corporate culture. I started in legal ops, so I managed the tenant issues, leases, all of the operating side of things from the legal department. And what was great about it was I really learned the underlying business of self-storage serving in that position. I took over as the chief legal officer in 2013, and then in 2014 also added in HR and travel and events reporting up through me. I'm also part of the executive committee and also sit on our real estate investment committee, our benefits committee, and I'm the executive sponsor of DE&I at Extra Space. So involved in all aspects of the business.
Great. And obviously a big focus of your time lately is the merger with Life Storage that was completed in July. What are some of the biggest issues that you've had to tackle on the legal side?
Gosh, probably just the biggest issue has been the element of surprise. We don't have any of the existing legal team from Life Storage who remained in the legal department. So when issues come up, we are kind of trying to trace breadcrumbs and find out what had been done in the past. And so that's been the biggest issue. The second really has just been navigating how Life Storage did legal ops and their support of the field personnel versus how Extra Space has done it. So we brought over about 1,300 team members from Life Storage, and their interaction with their legal department was different than how we do it. So just getting everybody kind of on the same systems and processes.
And what about on the employee side? What sort of issues have you had to deal with?
I think the biggest surprise for us, and this kind of goes to why we don't have anybody from the Life Storage legal team on our team, is that the employees who were at their corporate headquarters in Buffalo were not open to relocation. We expected more from the corporate side to come over. We've retained employees as long as they could stay remote, but were unable to convince folks to move from Buffalo to Salt Lake City. And so that was definitely our biggest surprise in trying to figure out, did certain key positions work remotely to keep them in Buffalo, or did we need to backfill in Salt Lake City? So that was definitely the biggest surprise on the employee side. Really impressed with the caliber of their employees, their field employees. We kept all of them, and their district managers came over. We have been trying to be open on the Extra Space side to new ideas and the way that Life Storage had done things, but at the same time trying to keep one process in place. So figuring out sort of what best practices they may be bringing and how to implement those while not running two different types of platforms.
How would you describe the culture of Extra Space today, and why do you think the company keeps being named a best place to work?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we don't have a lot of blame in our culture. If something gets messed up, if we pilot a new program that doesn't work, no one is looking for someone to blame. And that really starts at the board level and goes all the way down. So I think you have people who are willing to try to innovate or to immediately raise their hand and say, look, I messed this up. How can we fix it? Instead of trying to cover things up. And so I think that's that just culture of trust and teamwork really resonates throughout our organization. And then we're really careful in our more senior level promotions, whether it's internal or external. We do a ton of internal promotes, but we are careful that we promote those who work well with others. So we are not always trying to promote those who may get lots of results, but don't play well with others. So when we promote people to more senior levels, we're not just talking to their supervisor, but we're talking to their subordinates as well as their peers to really make sure that it's somebody who is collaborative and really lives our values and manages their people according to our values.
What are some of the key legal issues on any REIT's radar today?
I think this affects at least residential as well as self-storage REITs are the state of emergencies that have really come into play a lot since COVID. I think California started to use them pre-COVID. Anytime there was a fire or natural disaster, California would go to state of emergencies, but you've seen a lot more states now implement state of emergencies that limit REIT's abilities to raise rents in any kind of a residential scenario, and it also covers self-storage. So those come and go really quickly. We have to be very careful about watching out for those so that we're not violating any of the states of emergencies that sometimes are city-specific, sometimes they're full state-specific, but those change a lot. And then I guess for any operating REITs, wage and hour lawsuits have really proliferated a lot. So any REITs that have a lot of hourly employees, we've seen a huge uptick in wage and hour lawsuits, especially in New York State. And then for any public company, including all REITs, just the sheer proliferation of rules and requirements coming out of the SEC in the last 2 years has been something that all boards, all legal departments, and financial accounting departments have really had to stay on top.
Do you see any let up in that pace in 24?
No, on all fronts. The state of emergencies, luckily the COVID ones have been rolled back in all states, COVID specific. But what we have seen is that the state, county, and even city governments have figured out that this is a great thing to quickly put in place. So if you have a hurricane, they get dropped in. If you have, I mean, we are clearly dealing with them in the state of Hawaii after some of the tragedies on Maui. And so it's a matter of making sure the legal department and the operations group is up to speed on what those state of emergencies are, because they're changing a lot. And the SEC, no, absolutely not. They're going to continue to come out with all sorts of rules and requirements.
Are there any legal issues that are specific to the self-storage sector?
We have a whole framework of laws. It varies by state, but they're fairly similar, called the Self-Storage Lane Act, that governs how we are allowed to auction our tenants' properties. The REITs in the space have donated a lot of money to the Self-Storage Association to really monitor and upgrade some of those self-storage lien laws. For example, some states still require newspaper ads prior to auctioning property. I mean, a hard-printed newspaper isn't a place a lot of people are going to for their news anymore, let alone to look for advertisements regarding an auction. So there's some things that are just outdated, and the Self-Storage Association really works on trying to get those updated, like being able to send notice via certified email instead of a certified letter, things like that really help the industry.
And what would you say are some of your priorities for 2024 at Extra Space that you're most excited about right now?
We are absolutely the most excited about the mandate from our CEO, which is to focus on the fundamentals. After an incredibly crazy 2023, we are really looking at just focusing on the fundamentals of 2024 and making sure we've got all of the basics that we have been able to do really well, continuing to do so with this large acquisition that we did, and making sure we've got the people fully onboarded and trained the way our Extra Space employees are, that we have our platforms able to really fully support this new large merger, and then our properties, that they're really up to the same level that all of the Extra Space property level is that we require. We're dipping our toes into AI, just trying to see where we can get some benefits there. I wouldn't say we're not trying to be a pioneer in that area. We're really looking at whether we can use AI to take some workload off of our employees, to answer some of the continued questions that come up from whether it's employees or customers or things like that, that just could take some of the burden off of our employees. But we're looking at it cautiously and trying to make sure we're building a best use case scenario for it before we start to move forward.
Do you have advice for anyone looking to pursue a legal career in the commercial real estate sector today?
Oh, gosh, my first and foremost advice is do it. I have a daughter who graduated from law school a couple of years ago, and she is practicing law in the real estate area as well. So I'm really a big proponent of it. I think it opens up so many different avenues, whether it's practicing law in private practice, practicing law with a commercial real estate company, or really moving into other areas of the business. You run across a lot of lawyers. Our CEO is a former lawyer. So it opens up a ton of business opportunities as well. And I guess the only other big picture advice is really make sure that as a partner in the commercial real estate sector, attorneys are problem solvers and not just problem spotters. I think a lot of times attorneys view their role to really make sure that the client, the customer, understands what the problems are without helping them solve the problems. And so I think to be an effective advisor, you really should be coming to your business partners, not just with here is an issue, but here is how I think you should solve it, or here are a few options to solve it. And that really makes for much more effective guidance.
We've covered lots of topics, but anything else you'd like to mention before we go today?
I'm the corporate secretary as well, and so I'm kind of a corporate governance nerd. So it's been really fun to see that the changes in corporate governance in REIT land. I think 10 plus years ago, most REITs were still founders boards. And for a long time, they kind of went through just the check the box on corporate governance. And so it's been great to see a bigger focus on corporate governance that I believe really lead to great results for shareholders. And I think NAREIT's been fantastic also at leading the charge on some of those great corporate governance opportunities for the REITs.
Excellent, Gwen. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thanks, Sarah. Really appreciate it.
To our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.